from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, headphones turned up. Turn my headphones up. Happy Monday. Hello, James.
Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Excellent. That's a good weekend, man. Tons happening. Lots of NCAA tournament basketball going on.
Yep.
Which hopefully everybody listened to right here on ESPN 1320. We had a good Kings win over the Magic. A really good basketball game out in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
I can't decide on that Orlando team. I think Orlando's good. But I also don't know if they are going to be... I don't know what their ceiling is just yet.
Yeah, it's a good question because they still need some work in the backcourt.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, like I know everyone gets excited about Jonathan Isaac coming out and playing so well, yeah. But he played like 22 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's averaging 6 points a game on the season. Mm-hmm. And he's a great story because he's found his way back, but
sure.
But still just like limited. Yeah, I'm with you. Even the Franz Wagner thing. Like, I kind of get that Keegan Murray vibe. Like, hey, man, I want more.
Yeah.
Hey, can I get more?
Yeah, like just a little. He's such a good player, and he's constantly he picks it up, and he's putting the ball on the deck, and he's driving to the rim, but then the impact doesn't mm-hmm. feel like it's there. That's how I feel about all their players. I feel like the Magic are a team of players that I look at and go, oh, no, he's like, that's a guy I'd want on my team. I don't think I'd want him to be a star on my team. Like, Paolo, I think, is probably pretty close to that. Paolo can play.
Yeah, but Paolo is so similar to Carmelo Anthony, it's crazy to
yeah.
me. I mean, he's shooting 46.6% from the field. Like, that's crazy to me. That means he's taking a lot of bad shots. And Franz Wagner, 29% from three.
I feel like, Franz can't shoot it. I feel like with Paolo specifically, he would benefit a lot from a legitimate guard. Like a legitimate ball handling guard that can run the offense. Because
yeah.
right now, so much of every time the Magic needed a basket down the stretch of Saturday's game against the Kings, it was when the Kings are in need of a basket. It's like it's in De'Aaron's hands or it's in Malik Monk's hands and it's a little pick and roll and they're getting into the paint and either they're scoring or maybe they're shooting a three. Like it's that. With the Magic, it's like, hey, Paolo, go do something. Like here, you ISO on the wing and
yeah.
see what you can get. And I don't think that's super beneficial to him as a player. Like it's a nice little tool to have in his bag, but I wouldn't want to count on that if I'm a team looking to make the finals.
No, I agree. I don't know who they are as a team. I guess we do have an echo in the chat, so we'll figure it out.
We do. That's easy. That's
yeah, we'll figure it. We'll
go.
Figure it all out. Yeah, you know what? Like, look, when you're on the road in the NBA and you have like this weird little three game East Coast road swing, right? To me, if you can go out and go 2-for-3,
mm-hmm.
I mean, at 2 out of 3,
mm-hmm.
you did good. And
mm-hmm.
Orlando's a tough team. The first
yeah.
two teams
yeah.
weren't. And the fact that you lost to a horrific Washington Wizards team, everyone should be upset.
Mm-hmm.
But again, look at the overall record. Like, the Kings have, what, they're 4 out of the last 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're doing things okay, or they're 3 out of the last 4.
Yeah.
Like, they are still in the hunt. They're still right there, and I don't know. It feels
you
like taken, they're on the right
You would have taken a 2-1 trip.
Yeah.
And you probably would have said the loss is in Orlando.
And it was always a coin flip game.
Yeah, and so if I had told you, hey, they're going to go 2-1, I know for a fact they're going 2-1, you'd have been like, oh, okay, they dropped the game in Orlando. But yep. third game of the trip, yeah, that's fine. So the Washington loss is such an oddity to me.
Yeah.
But the good news is out of that loss, they came in and bounced back and played really well, and I thought that was a really kind of gritty performance. There were multiple times I thought they were going to let go of the rope and lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
And they battled back, and Keegan Murray was really, really good from beyond the arc.
Mm-hmm.
De'Aaron Fox, when he's leading the way, you're going to be in a pretty good spot. They overcame Malik Monk going 0-11 from the field.
Shocking.
It was just a...
They scored seven points.
Seven bench points.
7 points off the bench. That's wild.
Oof. And they figured out a way to win. Yeah, that's just a... It's kind of a gutsy little performance against a team that's in the same kind of tier as you, if not just a little behind, I think, where the Kings are. Maybe two.
Yeah, they're in the same tier, though. I mean, they're both 141 and 29 and 142 and 29.
Yeah.
Same tier, mm-hmm. but the Western Conference is more difficult.
Katie Christensen on the TV broadcast made a really good point that, and I agree with this wholeheartedly. The Magic are very much built to compete in the East.
Mm.
Like, they are built to box with the New York Knicks or the Boston Celtics or the Milwaukee Bucks or whoever it is. They're built to box with them for 7 games.
Mm.
Maybe they're not going to be super skilled, and maybe Jalen Suggs isn't going to average 30, and maybe Cole Anthony's not going to average 30. But, hey, they are going to be physical, they're going to be tough, and they're just going to be hard to beat in 4 times out of 7 games.
Yeah, I can see that. I also think that, you know, the better teams in the West also have those same sort of tendencies.
Hmm.
And it's so, you know, when we're talking that long, athletic, physical build,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about the Clippers, we're talking about the Pelicans,
mm-hmm.
you know, those are the teams that you kind of have to compete with. So they're not as, well, I mean, when you throw Jonathan Isaac out there, they are big. But the rest of them, you know, again, like Wendell Carter Jr. isn't... He's thick, but he's not like a tremendously like athletic or gigantic, you know, leaper or anything else. So, I don't know. And their guards are small, and their guards, you know, again, Jalen Suggs is a good defender,
mm-hmm.
but outside of that, he, you know, they really need a true scorer.
Yeah. Big time. They need a lead guard.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the Magic would scare me as a Kings fan. In the whole Malik Monk thing.
Well, they're the team. They're one of like 2 or 3 teams that you really have to look out for.
Yeah.
I'd say it's them. It's Toronto.
I just, you know. Despite, and maybe Malik going 0-11, because this teams will do this. Maybe Malik going 0-11 in their building, they're kind of like, ooh, never mind. maybe that'll actually wind up being helpful. But yeah, good win for the Kings. We'll dive into that a little bit. Sacramento in action tonight against the... Philadelphia 76ers, Golden 1 Center.
Yep.
Sixers had not been playing well, and then they beat the brakes off the Clippers yesterday.
Just wild.
I mean, well, I have no idea what to make of this Sixers team. Can I pause and talk about the Warriors for 30 seconds?
Yeah.
I don't want to do a deep dive on the problems of the Golden State Warriors, but here's where I'm at. If you don't know me, I'm from the Bay Area, grew up a Warriors fan. Love the Kings, though. I have so much love for that team and the city. So I'm at the point now where I would rather the Warriors miss the play-in than make it.
Really?
I don't want to watch any more of this team. I don't want to watch them anymore.
Yeah, Taps is playing. Taps is playing in the background.
They're just not, like, they're... Steph is obviously still incredible, but they're trying to run... Like, Draymond has declined as a player enough to the point that it's a non-factor offensively. Klay Thompson has always been a little bit streaky, but I mean, I just don't, every time he puts a shot up, I don't think it's going in anymore. Andrew Wiggins is just, Andrew Wiggins, the playoff run in 22 was the anomaly. They're never getting that player back. He is what he is. this year and most of last year, he was just the player that he was his entire career in Minnesota. And they're just not built. They were on a two timeline track and fell in the middle of the timelines, and now they have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't develop their young guys last year, so Jonathan Kuminga isn't ready to contribute in meaningful ways this year. Okay, he's averaged 20 for the last 2 months or whatever. Okay, fine. What else? He couldn't even get on the floor at the end of the game last night because he couldn't figure out what he was doing defensively.
Mm-hmm.
So it just they are not good. I don't want to have to watch them. I would so much rather they miss the play-in and have to punt everything than lose to the Lakers again. Let the Rockets mess around.
Okay,
just let the Rockets go do that.
Yeah, I do feel like the Warriors are like the cat poster where the cat's hanging on and it's like just
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. They're just barely clinging to life.
Yeah, and
I know I wanted to do Golden Girls comparisons and you just don't.
No, you can dive in and I can ask questions and stuff. But no, dude, they're just they were so bad last year.
Yep.
But found their way into the second round of the playoffs and convinced themselves that, oh, hey, this can still work, and it can't, dude. And so they played really well against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And Minnesota just won because Minnesota's a better team, even when they're banged up. Minnesota's just better. And it's like, man, I'm just done with whatever this version of the Warriors is.
I get that. And as someone who's covered so many of their games in the past, mm-hmm. like this is what happens.
Yeah.
It's just.
You get old.
It's what happens in professional sports. Yeah. Eventually, you just run out of gas and mm-hmm. you can't keep going. And, you know, like the only one that was ever able to avoid this was really it's the Spurs. You know, they made the playoffs in like something like 37 of their first 39 years.
And just totally insane.
Yeah, and so the one season they had that was bad, it was because David Robinson missed the season because of a back injury.
Right.
They get the first pick in the draft, get Tim Duncan, and then boom, they're right back.
Ridiculous.
That's the only time.
But then even the Duncan, Parker, Ginobili era got extended that couple extra years because Kawhi Leonard figured out how to shoot.
Yeah.
Like, just, oh, man. And then they got Victor Wembanyama. Must be nice.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
Every team gets old. I mean, that's it. But to watch it happen to the Warriors, because their greatness was so incredible.
Like,
how good they were for that stretch.
Yeah. The thing that Warriors fan needs to come to grips with is it's not an indictment on Steph Curry or Klay Thompson or Draymond Green.
Or even Steve Kerr.
Yeah, they just, like, everything reaches its end.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of what's happening. The other thing that happened yesterday in that Warriors-Timberwolves game, I'm just a full-blown Anthony Edwards stan now.
Okay.
I'm just in. I love it. At the end of the game, the Warriors take a shot. They miss. Edwards gets a rebound. They foul him with like 2 seconds left in a three-point game. He misses the first free throw. And Chris Paul walks down and he's hanging around the elbow and he's like saying something to him. And Ant like looks back at him with a little smirk on his face and like nods and then just buries the free throw and turns and says something to Chris Paul. Like, man, that's incredible. That's the second time he's done that when Draymond was chirping at him and then he takes over and wins a game for him. I'm just in on guys like that. I love Anthony Edwards, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's a player that you have to be in on. Like, he is like the next future of the league. He's one of the guys.
Yeah.
He's right there with Scottie Barnes.
Oh,
it's him and Scottie Barnes are the face of the league.
Where's my button?
Oh, you don't even...
Scottie Barnes?
Scottie Barnes.
Yeah.
He's right there with him. And, you know, like, these guys are going to be the face of the league. He's fun, though. He, like, his personality's fun. Like, the word on him coming into the draft was not good.
Right.
Like, a lot of people were super concerned about his ability to string it together.
Well, then he's like, yeah, I wish I was playing football instead. He's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, whatever's in your head, don't say that. Don't put it out there. Yeah, but yeah, what he's turned into is pretty amazing.
Yeah, he's really, really fun.
Yeah.
We'll get to the rest of the Western Conference. We'll talk about our NCAA tournament brackets. We'll just give you a Jiffy Lube fast break player of the game. And we'll look ahead to this Kings-Sixers matchup tonight. What version of the Sixers are we going to get? We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. That guy right there is James Hamm. me right here. I'm Kyle Madsen. And the Sacramento Kings are back in action tonight after a day off yesterday. They will take on the Philadelphia 76ers at Golden 1 Center, looking to snap a 10-game losing streak against Philly, including four straight at Golden 1 Center. Typically, I would point to, hey, they're missing guys, they're banged up, they're on the second night of a back-to-back. That's never mattered in the past. It's never mattered, not once.
Yeah, I mean, the Kings have lost to this Philadelphia 76ers team in egregious ways. You know, we had this situation after Luke Walton was fired where the Kings went in with five starters missing for the Sixers and got clubbed.
Brutal.
Absolutely brutal. For whatever the reason, this is just one of those teams that seems to have their number, but it kind of feels like this might be a little different. Philadelphia has not played well. They are on the second night of a back-to-back. You have some things going for you. Of course, the Kings are coming off a road trip, but like at this point, there are no more excuses, and you have to come in with a mindset that you have to get this game.
Yeah. Yeah, they're 4-7 in their last 11 games. They're on the fourth night of a four-game road trip, second night of a back-to-back.
Mm.
Hey, this is...
Yeah, it's all stacked there for you.
Right, and I'm going to say you have to go get this one, but how many times have we seen the Kings not go get this exact game?
Many.
So many.
So many.
It's really, really frustrating. It's been super frustrating.
Yes.
But no, man, this Philly team, you know what? I'm going to go check this real quick, because I think the last time the Kings beat the Sixers, it was 4 years ago, right?
No, five at least, because it's a 10-game losing streak.
Is it 18-19?
I think it was the De'Aaron Fox floater over the top of Joel Embiid to win it.
I've got 115-108 on February 2nd, 2019.
Okay.
So it'd be 20, 21, 22, 23. So it'd be 4 years in a row that they lost to Philly in Sacramento, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So this game, 115-108, Sixers at Kings, I had this like 7-game parlay because we're in Reno for the Super Bowl.
Oh.
I had this like 7-game NBA parlay. All right. We'll talk gambling in a bit. I had this 7-game, and they were just nuts. I had one that I needed a miracle, like miss and foul with 1 second left and the guy to hit two free throws. I had like a 20-point comeback. Everything just felt... I needed the Sixers to beat the Kings, and the Sixers the night before had beat the Warriors in Golden State at Oracle. And the Kings weren't great at this point. They were 26-25 going into that game. And I'm like, all right, need the Sixers to go win this one, and they did not. They lost 115-108. Everybody played. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, Landry Shamet, Mike Muscala. And they just had nothing. De'Aaron Fox, 34 points. He was Buddy Hield, 34 points, 7 of 13 from 3. Marvin Bagley had 14-13 off the bench.
Mm.
I mean, just brutal. Probably the best game the Kings played all year.
Probably.
Because I'd bet against him.
There was a game where Fox hits a game winner over the top of... This is where things got weird. Fox hits a game winner over Embiid. And then they come down on the other end, and Willie Cauley-Stein gets an incredible stop. He actually had two stops in a row on Embiid to preserve the win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the night we got Willie trying to sneak out of the locker room, caught him in the tunnel, interviewed him in the tunnel to the locker room, which is weird because that never happened. And that's when we asked him about like his defense on Embiid late in the game, and he started going off about He thought he could be Porzingis. Like, he could be the unicorn.
Oh, yeah, he had the same skill set as Porzingis.
Yeah, that was that night.
Wow.
Yeah.
What an iconic night in Kings history.
Well,
the Embiid game winner was... So, Fox was... I hate the 2 years. 2017 draft.
Yep.
That was his rookie year.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
That he hit the game winner over Embiid.
Yep.
We should have known then.
We should have known that he was him.
Yeah.
That's right.
That he was nice.
The Sixers starters tonight.
Yeah, what does it look like?
It looks like Kyle Lowry took yesterday off because he's old for rest, and he'll probably be back in the starting lineup. Tyrese Maxey at the alongside him in the backcourt. Kelly Oubre, Tobias Harris, notorious Kings killer, and Mo Bamba.
Oh boy, That scares me.
Mo Bamba scares you?
The Mo Bamba thing scares me a little bit.
What?
Mo Bamba is just the... he scares me. For as a matchup for the Kings. I feel like he is a player who could give them a problem.
He's a guy that Domantas Sabonis typically just shoves right under the basket and dunks on him, even though he's a great shot blocker.
Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else then. Did he not have a really good game against the Kings earlier this year?
It's possible.
Mo Bamba?
He probably hit a couple of threes.
I see.
That's where he can bust you up.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He had 11 and, yeah, he hit two threes.
Yeah.
11 points, three rebounds. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
I just, in my brain, he had a huge game last time they played, but.
No, it was Tobias Harris. You just couldn't stop Tobias Harris, and then Tyrese Maxey got cooking, and the two of them combined for, like, I don't know, 68 points or 69 points, something like that.
What matchup are you watching for tonight?
I got a good one here.
You got a really good one.
I want to see Malik Monk versus Buddy Hield off the bench.
Hell yeah.
I want every single time Buddy touches ball, he's going to get booed because he decided foolishly to say something stupid about Sacramento after he got traded.
Sure.
As one does.
Sure.
So he's in the Jason Terry realm of getting booed by Sacramento Kings fans.
Okay.
So I like this because Malik is coming off a horrendous game.
And it's really bad.
And 0 for 11. Where, you know, he even goes out on social media and says, hey, you know, I couldn't hit. What was his exact quote?
I don't think he said I couldn't throw it in the ocean.
I couldn't throw a rock in the ocean tonight. Light that MF though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was excited about the win.
Light that majorly fun though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
March funness.
Yeah, March funness.
yeah, I like the Monk v. Buddy Hield matchup. Can I get... I'm assuming that they'll throw Keegan on Tobias Harris. I mean, you think you'd want a cross match and have him guard Tyrese Maxey, but then you've got Tobias Harris on De'Aaron Fox or Keon Ellis?
Okay, so...
I don't think I love that.
No, and I think... Like 2 weeks ago, we didn't have this issue. Now the Kings have two guards they can throw at Tyrese Maxey, where they didn't have that before.
Yeah.
So now I like the fact that you've got Keon Ellis that can go try to give Maxey some problems. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to step up. If you're Keegan Murray, you can't let him, basically over this stretch, we've seen players push him around a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's, he's got to step up and... You know, again, Tobias Harris is a very difficult matchup for a lot of teams, but specifically for this Kings team. And, you know, you can't let him look like Kyle Kuzma did in the Washington game. Because that's kind of like he's a little bit similar to Kuzma, where he's a big 6'8", 6'9" guy. Mm-hmm. I remember during pre-draft, Tobias Harris, this is weird, he and Tyler Honeycutt, UCLA legend.
Of course.
RIP, former Sacramento King.
Mm.
They had been matched up in like 7 or 8 different, like, you know, they go around in their pre-draft and they end up in little groups, and he kept going from one place to the next to the next to the next. And it was him against, it was Tobias against Honeycutt.
Mm-hmm.
Honeycutt weighed 165 and Tobias Harris weighed 225. And he just buried him everywhere they went. Like he had him by literally like 60 or 70 pounds.
Jeez.
It was wild. And Harris was a player the Kings liked, and he would have looked good in a Kings uniform a lot of times, but sort of like in the realm of a Harrison Barnes type player. He just seems to give the Kings fits.
37 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, 14 of 25 from the floor in their last matchup, Tobias Harris. And to your point on Tyrese Maxey, 6 of 17, he had 21 points, 4 assists, 3 boards, 3 steals. Kind of held him in check. Oh. So I think we'll talk about this with keys to the game coming up a little bit later, but I think if you can just throw a couple different looks at Maxey, I think you throw Keegan Murray on Tobias Harris, I'm really interested to see how that matchup goes.
Yeah, you got to step up, you know, and if you need to, treat him like you do someone like Zion, like wall him off a little bit, you know, send a double team at Tobias if you have to. And I know it's not ideal, but I'm not fearing Mo Bamba. I'm not fearing Kyle Lowry at this point in his career. Like, if that's what you have to do against your starting lineup, you know, do it.
Is Paul Reed healthy? He hasn't been starting, though.
No, he hasn't been starting, but he's healthy. He's here.
Yeah,
he played yesterday.
He's a good player, too. He had the game that I thought Mo Bamba had last time. He was a better player than I thought he was, because that was pretty early on. Joel Embiid did not play in that first Kings-Clippers game, and he's not going to play tonight either. But in that game, Paul Reed was like, who the hell is this guy? 8 points, 8 boards, couple assists, couple of steals, 3 blocks, just kind of all over the place. He had a really good game, but he's coming off the bench now. So, anyways.
Should be a good game.
I knew
game.
I wasn't going crazy that the Sixers had a big man who played well in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness. All right. We got keys to the game. Keys to a Kings win over a shorthanded Sixers team on the second night of a back-to-back. We've got that and more coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Learn how to do this someday. There's a reason they have multiple people to do the jobs that we're doing. Here, let's try it again.
Now, back to the insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right. We're back in here. Kelly Oubre came up at the break. I feel like when I did radio here in Sacramento in 2018, 18 and 19, I felt like Kelly Oubre was a topic every single show. Because it's when he was with the Suns. I was like, man, Kelly Oubre looked good in a Kings uniform. First of all, Kelly Oubre would look good in any uniform. It's a fine-looking man.
Yeah. It's whether or not he plays well. And we had the weird situation with him. It was early this season, right?
Yeah, where, with his bike.
With his bike, where people said allegedly he had been... Well, he claimed that he had been hit by a car.
Right. but he was riding like BMX or something, which he's not supposed to be doing.
And it's in his contract that he's not supposed to do that. So he's like a renowned BMXer,
which is insane.
That's
but sure.
weird. Okay, that's just wild. Yeah, him and De'Aaron Fox are close. They've been friends. You know, they were on the same AAU team with like Justin Jackson. Like the whole AAU team was stellar.
Of course.
Yeah, there was only a couple of teams. Well, like I think they went to like big tournaments together.
Sure.
I don't know that they played together all the time, but they've known each other since they were very young.
Do you know how old Kelly Oubre is?
I'm going to guess he's 27 going on 28.
He's 28.
Okay.
Turned 28 in December. I would have guessed like 31. In my brain, Kelly Oubre has been around for 15 years.
The only way I know that though is because he was like a year and a half, 2 years ahead of De'Aaron Fox, which means he's 2 years older than De'Aaron Fox.
Real quick, somebody in the chat had said Kelly Oubre, Warriors legend, a 40-point game he had for them. I said 60. Felt like 60 at the time.
Mm, okay.
That was the year Golden State won like 12 games. It's not great.
Yeah, and then they did not invite him back.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a good overall season.
Mm-mm.
Oh, no, that was the year before they won. What did they? Oh, they lost in the play-in this year. That's right. They went 39-33, lost in the play-in.
Right. Okay.
Anyways, which looks like they might do again this year. Unless the Rockets catch them. Dude, if you're a Kings fan right now, you should be hoping that the Warriors stay in the play-in over the Rockets.
Probably.
You don't want to accidentally run into the Rockets.
Yeah. You and I had this discussion a little bit via text. Yeah. And I agree with you, except for the fact that Şengün is not going to play. Like, he's done.
Yeah, they've continued winning, though.
Well, no, they have, but I think he presents a weird matchup that if he's not there, they're not as dangerous to the Kings.
Mm.
That's what I mean. So the way that he plays, the way that he's, you have to have so much of Domas's attention on him.
Mm.
And then what are they going to do to stop Domas? That's always the question. So it's not like Jabari Smith Jr. can stop Domas because he can't.
Sure.
So, I mean, they're going to have to...
I remember these same questions before the playoffs last year, though.
Yeah.
And the team figured it out. Ime Udoka's a good coach. I'm just saying, I would want no smoke with the Rockets.
No, probably not. Probably not.
At all.
Yeah.
Like, the Warriors right now are just, meh. Like, they're inching into this play-in situation.
Oh, they're backing
up. You might have a scorching hot, young Rockets team. I would want no parts of that. two things I want to get Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game. Then I want to talk about another team the Kings may or may not want smoke with in the playoffs.
Okay.
Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game for Saturday, the 109-107 win over the Orlando Magic. A lot of options here.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm. 31 points.
31 points. 8 rebounds.
Something like that.
8 rebounds. Really, really, really good game for De'Aaron. Keegan Murray, 6 of 7 from beyond the arc. Really good night for him.
With his dad in the stands.
With his dad in the building.
Shout out Kenyon.
And hit a couple of really big threes.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was Keon Ellis. And Keon Ellis got my vote. Because he had 19 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, a block, 4 of 9 from beyond the arc. You want to talk about hitting a couple of big threes.
Yeah.
He had a couple of huge ones down the stretch. And picking up that slack with Malik Monk going 0 for 11. In fact, it was Keon Ellis going, okay, I'll do more heavy lifting on offense, and doing that while continuing to play really good defense. He got the nod for me.
Yeah. I mean, career high 19 points.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And the 6 and 5, the 6 assists, 5 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like we kind of expect him to get 2 steals and sometimes even a block,
mm-hmm.
but it's those other, you know, items that he's filling up the 5 rebounds, a 6 assists.
Yeah.
He ran a plus 18.
Yeah, second highest on the team behind Keegan.
Yeah, when your bench is going to have that kind of night,
mm-hmm.
and you can count on Keon Ellis, who was out of the rotation and a two-way player like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Played 37 minutes.
Come on, man.
That's very
huge.
Nice.
Huge. So Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game is Keon Ellis. Go to ESPN1320.com. There's a Jiffy Lube Fast Break page right at the front. You click on that, you're going to enter the code word Ellis.
Ellis.
E-L-L-I-S. That enters you to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and enters you to win a Sacramento Kings jersey that we'll be giving away at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
So go right now to ESPN1320.com, Jiffy Lube Fast Break contest page right at the front, and enter the code word Ellis. E-L-L-I-S. Kings. Speaking of teams that the Kings may or may not want smoke with in the playoffs, the Pelicans are figuring it out for now without Brandon Ingram. They haven't played anybody good, but the fact that they have managed to sneak out a couple of W's since Ingram went down, mm-hmm. one at Miami and then one at Detroit, and they kind of crushed Miami. Man, that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially, you know, they went 3-4 on a road trip. They've now won 5 out of 6, and it's even more than that. It's like 9 out of 11.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, they're really playing well. I want to see what they look like again. They have coming up. They have the Thunder, mm-hmm. the Bucks, the Celtics, the Suns, even the Magic. So
yeah.
If they go 0-5 in this next stretch,
yeah.
Or if they go 1-4,
sure.
Then they're, you know, you can get them.
Yeah, that's on the table for sure. Man, they had that game against Orlando, Brandon Ingram gets hurt and they lose that game. And then they come back the next night at the Heat and beat them by 23 points.
Mm.
And the impressive part to me is it was CJ McCollum in that game against the Heat. And then the next night at Detroit, it was a lot of Zion Williamson. Like, they're finding different players to kind of pick up this slack. And if they're going to get good performances from those two, and then you sprinkle in some Herb Jones. Jose Alvarado had a big game in one of those games. I think it was against Detroit. You sprinkle in some Trey Murphy. Now all of a sudden, you have a team that's capable of winning even without its best scorer. And that is extra scary to me.
Yeah, I mean, this team has really, really good depth. You know, they've built the team the right way. And every time, they're kind of that team that every time someone falls in the draft,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, I don't know, really that matters. And then whoever they draft ends up being relatively good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have a couple of pieces that are missing and they need to get better at a couple of spots. But I really like who they are. You
yeah.
know, they probably don't need the big center. They probably need to go with more of a shot blocker than they currently have.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably help them take one more step, which is something they tried to address at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, I mean, Valanciunas is a good player. And like against the Kings, again, we always see teams like this. They roll the Kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, the matchups are bad, whatever. Valanciunas, though, also plays extremely well against the Kings. And that's a lot because him and Sabonis know each other extremely well from their time with the Lithuanian national team. And so you're getting to see a much better version of him
mm-hmm.
than a lot of other teams do around the league. So on the season, he's averaging 12.5 points, 9.2 rebounds. You know, but against the Kings, he looks like a world beater. And that's just, it's part of that sort of, you know, big brother, little brother thing that they have from the national team.
Yeah, it felt like that's one of the disappointing things with Zion. You talk about a shot blocker. It looked like he was going to be that player defensively when he was at Duke.
Oh,
just jumping out of the gym and blocking three-pointers. And there's that really famous picture of him blocking a three in the corner where he's got, I mean, his feet are at the shooter's like waist. It is insane how high he is. And that's just not really come to fruition yet. But they're half a game back of the Clippers now. I mean, they are just, man.
The Clippers are the ones, we talked about this. They're the team that just doesn't really know how to figure it all out.
I don't.
Yeah.
They got smoked by Philly. Just crushed.
Yeah.
And I don't.
I told you the Pacific was up for grabs. It's still up for grabs. The Kings aren't that far behind. You know, and what are we looking at? 3 games with 12 to play? That's not that much. And you have them once. So like, you pick up a win against them and you split the season series. There's potential there.
Campaign had 23 points for Philly.
That doesn't make any sense.
5 of 10 from three.
Although he's done that against the Kings. That sideways three-point shot.
Yeah, Campaign's not a bad player, but still, you'd expect 23 from Campaign against the Clippers. Like, come on, man.
He's another player the Kings really, really liked.
Mm.
You know, he's a guy that they were very intrigued by multiple occasions. But he had a lot of foot injuries as a young player, and it really cost him, you know, sort of being a starter in the league.
All right. I want to talk about the top of the West briefly.
Okay.
Is this, before we do that though, I want to throw a pin in that. I'm looking at one of your notes here. Is it right that the Kings are now fourth in the NBA in net rating? There's no way that's
correct. No. That's wrong.
Okay.
That's probably 14th.
Okay. That makes way more sense.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. at that?
No, I took some notes. So,
yeah,
you know, we talked about this. Pre-All-Star game, the Kings offense had a 116.6 rating. Mm-hmm. They're 14th in the league. Since the All-Star break, they're at 116.4. So they're not
the same.
They're basically the same, but that's moved all the way up to ninth. Like, so while the rest of the league has struggled with this new physicality and the new, the way games are being called since the All-Star break, the Kings haven't, even though they're not shooting all that well. But at the same time, during that stretch, pre-All-Star break, the Kings' defensive rating is 116.6. They're 18th in the NBA pre-All-Star break. They are 11th in after the All-Star break at 111.6. So they've shaved like 4.5 points off their defensive rating. And that's incredible. So right now, the Kings are 7th in net rating.
Mm-hmm.
Since the All-Star break at a plus 4.8,
man,
which is great. And
really good.
The reason why I did this, Kyle, is because there's this thing Mike Brown kept talking about.
Can I real quick?
Oh yeah.
Just for reference, the plus 4.8, what that means, the Denver Nuggets are plus 4.7 for the season.
Okay.
So plus 4.8 is a very, very good number.
Yeah. Your net rating, your offensive rating minus your defensive rating equals your net rating. Right.
And plus 4.8 is a strong number. Continue.
Mike. Yeah. No, that's okay. And so when I looked at these numbers and I'm starting to like digest and say, okay, why is it that all of this is happening? Mike Brown talked about something coming out of the All-Star break. And he just said, look, if we could just be league average at defending the three-point shot, we would be like number 8 in defensive rating. Just league average. Like, we don't have to be great.
Right.
Just get us in the ballpark. Since the All-Star break, so pre-All-Star break, the Kings were allowing their opponents to shoot 39.7% from three on 34 possessions per game. And that's over 54 game stretch.
Right.
So 39.7. So 40% from three.
Yeah.
On 34 attempts per game.
Right.
Since the All-Star break, 36.3%.
Much better.
On 32 attempts per game.
Much better.
So not only have they shaved like 3.5% off of their opponent's three-point percentage, but they've been able to cut their attempts by two as well.
Yeah.
That just tells you they're playing much better.
Closing out, running people off the line.
Yeah. And so if they shot 36.3% on the season, that would be 11th best.
That's great.
In the NBA.
That's great.
No, 13th best. I'm sorry. 13th best in the NBA. So that shows you that there is potential here for them to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And they have actually done exactly what Mike Brown asked them to do.
Yeah.
They're hitting their free throws at a higher clip.
Yep.
They are not getting to the free throw line more, which is what he had hoped, but that's a league-wide issue.
Right.
But they are hitting at a higher clip and starting to raise their free throw percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to see a team who was like 30th in three-point defense, and it wasn't even close. They're still 29th, but the fact that they aren't last anymore is because they've shaved a whole bunch off, like almost a full percent off of their season defensive three-point percentage. That's good. Man.
I don't think it's a coincidence that it coincides with Keon Ellis playing more.
No, Keon Ellis is a remarkable defender on the perimeter.
Very good. And we talked about it so often with the Kings this year was, man, they need like one guy to be that dude on defense and set a tone that everybody else follows.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like Keon Ellis is that. And I don't think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden, hey, you're seeing better closeouts and you're seeing more aggressive defense. And I think the ref swallowing whistles helps a little bit. But part of it was just effort and just doing the things correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Brown talked about all the time. You want to close out like this. You want to guard hot guys like this, and you want to do this. They're just doing it now, or at least it seems as such. I will say the game against the Bucks. I think the Bucks went. Willsey had the stats. WillseyStats.com. I think they were 3 of 11 on wide open threes.
Mm.
3 of 18, something. They had open looks and didn't knock them down. But that was that game. That I haven't felt that in any other of these stretches. I think it's just they're playing better defense.
Well, that, and I think what you have to look at too is when you hear that 3 of 11 or whatever against wide open threes, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that like some of those weren't intentional by the Kings. Like, it's possible that you're double-teaming Giannis Antetokounmpo, and it's possible that you're double-teaming Damian Lillard or throwing a second body at him, at least temporarily, like, you know, sure. And so the guys who are shooting those open threes, they might not be the quote unquote hot guys. They might not be the guys that, I mean, that you want taking those threes. So if Giannis took one of those threes, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and that team has a lot of good players, a lot of good 3-point shooters. So like Bobby Porter's missed some open threes in the corner. Pat Connaughton hit,
Malik Beasley is ninth in the league in 3-point percentage this year, and he had multiple open threes.
Yeah, yeah.
But to your point, when you're leaving Giannis wide open, you're doing that on purpose.
Well, that you have to pick your poison though. Like you mm-hmm. have to send a second person at Giannis. Mm-hmm. You've got to send a second body at Damian Lillard, and the Kings dared the other Bucks players to beat them, and they couldn't.
Yep.
And so you're right, but at the same time, you know, there is a reason why you have that many wide open threes. It's not that you intentionally want to leave guys wide open from three all the time, mm-hmm. but it's because you're sending extra bodies at two superstars.
Sure, yeah. For the season, 15th in defensive rating, that would tie with Denver last year for worst defensive rating by an NBA champion since 2000-2001.
Okay.
But last year, Denver finished fifth in offensive rating. There's a requisite level of success you need to have on each end of the floor that the Kings have not quite reached yet. But I will say this. I'm not in the boat that I'm not all of a sudden like, oh yeah, hey, they can win a title this year. I see the path. I don't. Like we were talking about net rating. Do you know what Boston's net rating is right now?
I do because I'm on the page, but go ahead.
12.
A plus 12.
They are beating teams by an average of 12 points a game or per 100 possessions.
I mean, and same OKC's is 7.8.
That's super high. Yeah,
they're like a 119 offensive rating with a 111 defensive rating.
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot. So anyways, I don't think the Kings can win the title, but with the way they've played defense in the second half of this year.
Mm-hmm.
It is way easier for me to draw a path where they are doing more than just like, yeah, they might survive a first round playoff series and then get smoked in the second round. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, hey, man, I have a belief that they have a lineup that can credibly get stops
mm-hmm.
and also score. Like that's the problem a lot of teams have. We were talking about Golden State earlier. Golden State has a lineup. They ran it out yesterday. It was nuts. It is all defenders. Who can't, like, Andrew Wiggins is the best offensive player in the lineup. It's like Draymond and GP2 and Jonathan Kuminga and Andrew Wiggins and someone else. But that team can't function offensively. The Kings have a lineup with like De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Keegan Murray, Keon Ellis, and Domantas Sabonis that can get stops and go score kind of at will.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that lineup in a playoff series, I feel so much better about that, and I feel so much better now about the Kings' ability to get a stop or two or three or four stops down the stretch of a game. I feel better about that now than I did 6 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and that could be everything in a first or second round playoff series, where now if you came from the future and like, yeah, hey, the Kings won two playoff series without any like crazy injuries or anything like that, I wouldn't be floored by it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I think it's just different. You add one piece to the puzzle and it changes everything.
Sure.
And I think over the next 12 games, what the Kings really need to work on is establishing that Keon Ellis can hit the wide open shot.
Mm-hmm. Force teams to guard it.
Yeah, it forces mm-hmm. teams to guard him. Now, if they don't, it might be okay because Keon Ellis might hit that shot.
Sure.
And if you want to leave him open, that's fine. Because mm-hmm. he shot 40% at the G League level last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he can't shoot it. So I'm intrigued to see how that works. I'm intrigued to see if the Kings can develop a personality for Ellis on the offensive end over the final 12 games of the season. Because what we saw in the last game where he puts up 19, what I don't want to see is him go back to 4 points a game. And right. He doesn't have to average 19, but if he could average 10, or if he can average 11 or 12 and hit wide open looks, okay, now you got to defend him. And that's something that, you know, will make you more potent in the playoffs.
What is he shooting? Let's see. Since March 1. Since March 1, he is shooting 44% from three on 3.3 attempts a game. Like, that's going to do it, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he regresses a little bit, if he hits 37%+, teams have to guard him now in ways that they didn't have to guard Davion Mitchell.
Yeah.
Like, that's why Davion, everybody, you know, I did it too. But, hey, why didn't Davion Mitchell play more in Game 7? Because it was forcing the Kings to play 5-on-4 offensively.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't think that's the case with Keon. And, I mean, maybe I'm just dramatically overthinking this. But you just, 1-for-2, 3-for-5, 0-for-1, 1-for-2, 3-for-5, 1-for-2, 1-for-2, 2-for-5. Like, it's just, it's not a ton of volume, but it's, he's hitting it frequently enough that, man, that's a, I not that Keon Ellis is some all-star or some all-NBA guy or anything like that, but with the formula of what this Kings team needed, it's like adding him to the mix just changes everything.
Yeah, as a starter, he has to shoot the three because, let's mm-hmm. be honest, he's not doing a lot of other offensive things. Yeah,
sure.
I mean, the step-back three was totally
that was
shocking.
Nuts. Like, that was nutty.
What in the world was that?
That was and bananas.
They might not have given him a three on that. I don't believe that they did. We think of it, but he should have been five of eight, mm-hmm. and he ended up 4 of 7, and I believe they changed that to a 2. But either way, like, what he was able to do was very, very impressive. And, like, look, it's on him to keep growing, and it's on his teammates to keep bringing him along.
This is kind of interesting. He's shooting 30.6% as a starter and 43.2% as a reserve. That's kind of fascinating.
He'll get more comfortable, though, and you got to remember.
Exact same usage.
He's only started 9 games, right? But it's mm-hmm. 9 games over, again, we went through this. He started, what, 2 in November, yeah. 1 in December, yeah. 3. Now he's up to, whatever, 5 in March, whatever mm-hmm. it is. Yeah, we have this other crazy thing that happened. The Kings guaranteed themselves a 500 season. They won their 41st game on Saturday. And I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit more, but this is only the 10th time in 39 years in Sacramento that the Kings have posted a 500 or better record.
Yeah.
10th time total. And 8 of those were Rick Adelman, and the last 2 were Mike Brown.
Man.
Like, what Mike Brown has been able to do to change the culture here in Sacramento, I hope that people above him are appreciating what he's been able to accomplish.
Sure.
Because this has been like a wasteland forever. And even when the Kings made the playoffs in 1985-86, or they made it in 95-96 season, those weren't 500 seasons. They never reached 500. So it really is crazy that he's been able to get to this point.
And it's not like he stepped into a kind situation. It's not like he stepped in when they already had this roster laid out and he just needed to kind of get them. Like, I know they traded for Domas and stuff while they, you know, but
the year before, but yeah.
But they hadn't done anything. They were 30-52 the year before Mike Brown gets here, and then they go 48-34.
Yeah.
And then back it up with another, they could lose out and be 500.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to lose out.
No.
They're probably going to finish about where they were last year.
You're going to be right around there.
And whether it's 47, 48, 49, 50 wins, whatever it is, I know 50 is kind of the goal number here. But regardless of whether they go 9-3 over their final 12 or not, it's remarkable, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know we've sat here on the radio because we have to do 10 hours of radio a week and we got to talk about stuff. But has this season been a little bit disappointing from kind of the potential ceiling? Like, yeah, a little bit for sure, but not to the point where it's worth losing the perspective of, hey man, Steven's about to go above 500 back-to-back years for the first time since 2004-2005.
Yeah. 05-06.
04-05-05-06. Yeah, those 2 years.
No, it's Kyle is stunning what he's been able to accomplish.
It's incredible.
So, and I know, you know, you got to give some credit to the front office, but also the front office was there for the previous 2 years before he got there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what he was able to do last season was stunning. And then what he's been able to do since then is, like, look, give the guy his flowers. Like, mm-hmm. he was NBA Coach of the Year last year. this guy should not go anywhere. He should be long-term in Sacramento. He should get an opportunity to do what Rick Adelman did.
I agree.
And sometimes you take a step back in year two, and then you ramp up, and you can, you know, we certainly know what this team needs going into the offseason.
Yeah. We have to, here, let's put a pin in this. We gotta go right now. We'll continue discussing this. Mike Brown and the Kings going above 500, or at least 500 for back-to-back years for the first time in almost 20. We'll do that next on ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.